Welcome, Weirdos! I'm Darren Marlar, and this is a bonus bite of Weird Dark News. Researchers at UCL have solved a major piece of the puzzle that makes up the ancient Greek astronomical calculator known as the Antikythera mechanism, a hand-powered mechanical device that was used to predict astronomical events. Known to many as the world's first analog computer, the Antikythera mechanism is the most complex piece of engineering to have survived from the ancient world. The 2,000-year-old device was used to predict the positions of the Sun, Moon, and the planets, as well as lunar and solar eclipses. Published in Scientific Reports, the paper from the multidisciplinary UCL Antikythera research team reveals a new display of the ancient Greek order of the universe, cosmos, within a complex gearing system at the front of the mechanism. Lead author Professor Tony Freeth, UCL Mechanical Engineering, explained, "Ours is the first model that conforms to all the physical evidence and matches the descriptions of the scientific inscriptions engraved on the mechanism itself. The Sun, Moon, and planets are displayed in an impressive tour de force of ancient Greek brilliance." The Antikythera mechanism has generated both fascination and intense controversy since its discovery in a Roman-era shipwreck in 1901 by Greek sponge divers near the small Mediterranean island of Antikythera. The astronomical calculator is a bronze device that consists of a complex combination of 30 surviving bronze gears used to predict astronomical events, including eclipses, phases of the moon, positions of the planets, and even dates of the Olympics. Whilst great progress has been made over the last century to understand how it worked, studies in 2005 using 3D X-rays and surface imaging enabled researchers to show how the mechanism predicted eclipses and calculated the variable motions of the moon. However, until now, a full understanding of the gearing system at the front of the device has eluded the best efforts of researchers. Only about a third of the mechanism has survived, and it's split into 82 fragments, creating a daunting challenge for the UCL team. The biggest surviving fragment, known as Fragment A, displays features of bearings, pillars, and a block. Another, known as Fragment D, features an unexplained disc, 63 tooth gear, and plate. Previous research had used X-ray data from 2005 to reveal thousands of text characters hidden inside the fragments, unread for nearly 2,000 years. Inscriptions on the back cover included a description of the cosmos display, with the planets moving on rings and indicated by marker beads. It was this display that the team worked to reconstruct. Two critical numbers in the X-rays of the front cover, of 462 years and 442 years, accurately represent cycles of Venus and Saturn, respectively. When observed from Earth, the planet's cycles sometimes reverse their motions against the stars. Experts must track these variable cycles over long time periods in order to predict their positions. The classic astronomy of the first millennium BC originated in Babylon, but nothing in this astronomy suggested how the ancient Greeks found the highly accurate 462-year cycle for Venus and 442-year cycle for Saturn, explained PhD candidate and UCL Antikythera research team member Aristokanalis. Using an ancient Greek mathematical method described by the philosopher Perimides, the UCL team not only explained how the cycles for Venus and Saturn were derived, but also managed to recover the cycles of all the other planets where the evidence was missing. PhD candidate and team member David Higgin explained, "After considerable struggle, we managed to match the evidence in fragments A and D to a mechanism for Venus, which exactly models its 462-year planetary period relation with the 63-tooth gear playing a crucial role." Professor Freeth added, "The team then created innovative mechanisms for all of the planets that would calculate the new advanced astronomical cycles and minimize the number of gears in the whole system so that they would fit into the tight spaces available. This is a key theoretical advance on how the cosmos was constructed in the mechanism," added co-author Dr. Adam Woschick, UCLA Mechanical Engineering. "Now we must prove its feasibility by making it with ancient techniques. A particular challenge will be the system of nested tubes that carry the astronomical outputs." The discovery brings the research team one step closer to understanding the full capabilities of the Antikythera mechanism and how accurately it was able to predict astronomical events. The device is kept at the National Archaeological Museum in Athens. Despite humanity's best efforts to find evidence of intelligent life out there somewhere in the universe, we've turned up squat so far. Is Earth really so unique, or Is it just that any extraterrestrials that once existed gave up the ghost long ago? A new Canadian study suggests there's an alternative possibility. Aliens may very well be out there and looking for us too. And if so, our best chance of finding one another is to presume that their ability to see across the chasm of space is effectively the same as our own. One of the ways our earthly scientists study faraway planets is by examining their shadows as they pass in front of their host stars. The authors of this new study, to be published in Astrobiology, say this is the most likely way alien observers would know anything of Earth too. It's impossible to predict whether extraterrestrials use the same observational techniques as we do, said astrophysicist Renee Heller, who worked on the research while at McMaster University in Canada and is now at the Institute for Astrophysics in Göttingen, Germany. But they will have to deal with the same physical principles as we do, and Earth's solar transits are an obvious method to detect us. When a planet performs a transit in front of a star, for example Venus passing over the Sun, it's the closest astronomers get to shining a light on planets that are so far away. They're difficult to study in other ways. Transit observation not only allows scientists to visually see planets using telescopes, but it also helps them to collect other kinds of data, such as atmospheric conditions and surface temperature, giving them an idea of whether the world they're looking at might be habitable. It stands to reason that intelligent extraterrestrials with the same level of technology could find Earth the same way, and in fact, they might already have done so. If any of these planets host intelligent observers, they could have identified Earth as a habitable, even as a living world, long ago, and we could be receiving their broadcasts today, the authors write in their paper. The scientists propose that we should focus our alien hunting efforts on Earth's own transit zone, a thin slice of space, about half a degree wide, but potentially less for atmospheric detection, from which our planet's passage in front of the Sun can be detected from elsewhere in the Milky Way. That slender window in space is where we're most visible to anybody out there, so that's where we should be looking or listening for any kinds of extraterrestrial broadcasts or communications. As an ultimate consequence, the researchers write, even if our species chose to remain radio quiet to eschew interstellar contact, we cannot hide from observers located in Earth's solar transit zone, if they exist. A Texas woman wanted in a missing person investigation of her 18-month-old son was arrested Tuesday morning, but her child was not found. San Antonio police were searching for 20-year-old Delaney Cherez and her 18-month-old son, James Cherez, after they were last seen together on January 4th, walking into a San Antonio pharmacy. Police said detectives believe the two may have been in danger. Delaney was then seen on February 24th on video at a San Antonio bus station. Police said she rode the bus for several hours before exiting at the North Star Transit Center. Cherez uses public transport often, police said. Family members contacted San Antonio police to report the mother and child missing. San Antonio police said FBI agents joined a search at a local park on Saturday, March 13th. KSA-TV reported Mariusol Gomez, the aunt and great-uncle to Delaney and James, first reported them missing on February 22nd. Delaney Cherez was arrested Tuesday at 3 a.m. according to Bexar County authorities and charged with child abandonment. KSAT reports, according to the arrest affidavit, Cherez did not answer investigators' questions but did tell them she did not feel prepared to be a mother and considered giving the baby up for adoption. Investigators said a search of her trailer found a bedsheet from a crib with human blood on it. In the affidavit, Cherez said she gave the child away to multiple people. Family members said they haven't seen the child since Thanksgiving, but he was seen on security camera footage at a Walgreens on January 4th. Oregon authorities are investigating yet another series of bizarre cattle mutilations that have occurred over the past few years. Officials record the last case literally this month. The killings took place in eastern and southern Oregon. Police said they're going to introduce additional patrolling and urged local residents to be more attentive. Sergeant Mitch Madden said that at the moment, the police are investigating cases of killing animals in which different parts of the body were removed from them. This streak follows five murders in the past year. This also happened in 2019. Then the animals were killed in a completely unnatural way. In most cases, the animals had their eyes, udder, intestines, genitals, ears, and even cheeks removed. The organs were cut from cows even when they were alive, but at the same time they were completely immobilized in an incomprehensible way. During the procedure, there was no bleeding, and incomprehensible tools were used to cut out the organs, which the authorities did not see on our planet. It's worth noting that the FBI has a whole dossier of a huge number of such cases in the United States. The first of them occurred back in the 70s of the last century, but at the same time, it was not possible to find the culprits for all this time. Cattle mutilation is the killing and mutilation of cattle under unusual, usually bloodless and anomalous circumstances. In 1974, a few months after the first spate of alleged mutilations in the U.S., multiple farmers in Nebraska claimed to witness UFOs on the nights their cattle were harmed. One claimed he saw an object which, quote, "looked as if it had a little bluish-green light on each side with a glow surrounding it," unquote. The sightings were hailed by UFO researchers as the first physical evidence of extraterrestrial life. Police announced Tuesday that human remains found in December were positively identified as Taisha Bell, a mother of two who had disappeared in May of 2003. The case had been updated from missing persons to a homicide investigation. Jack Fitchdell, the investigative services commander at the Aurora Police Department, said in a press conference Tuesday that Bell's sister last saw her on the night of May 10, 2003 at the apartment they shared on the 800 block of North Randall Road. Fitchdell said Bell received a phone call, then left the house. Police said Bell left her television on, candles burning, and her two young children with family members. Kane County Coroner Rob Russell said that on December 11, 2020, skeletal remains were found in a shallow grave in a wooded area. The Kane County Major Crimes Task Force and the Kane County Coroner's Office documented the scene, and the remains were sent to the Kane County Morgue for testing. Russell said he worked with a forensic odontologist and forensic anthropologist to create a profile of the victim. He said the results of the profile were consistent with an African-American female, 5'5 to 5'11 inches high, approximately 25 to 40 years of age. Aurora Police Department presented a possible match from their missing persons record and sought to match it with a national DNA database. The Aurora Beacon News reported police believed foul play was involved because Bell left personal belongings, including her purse and money, at home. Aurora Police set up a tip line for the case, and anyone with information is asked to call 630-256-5517. That's 630-256-5517, or you can email tips@aurora.il.us. Megalodons have always been associated with terrible sea creatures that were not afraid of anything and were invincible. In fact, they turned out to be much larger than scientists previously thought, according to express.co.uk. Carcharocles megalodons, according to experts, could reach a length of about 18 meters or 60 feet. The size of the ancient shark was comparable to a modern three-story house, but a recent study by experts showed that these predatory creatures were much larger than that. John Long, strategic professor in paleontology at Flinders University, and Mikhail Syverson, head of Department Earth and Planetary Sciences at Western Australia University, performed a thorough analysis of the megalodon's teeth and found they were much larger than anticipated. The maximum size of the ancient shark was 20 meters in length, or 66 feet. Of course, not all individuals were of this size, but nevertheless, real giants among megalodons did occur. The duo wrote in The Conversation, "The maximum jaw size of Meg can be calculated by scaling up the few known associated dentitions, that is, multiple tooth specimens that were found together and came from a single shark, with the widest Meg tooth ever found. Once we did this, the size estimated we reached was between 19 and 20 meters, and this is much larger than most other recent estimates. Many believe the ancient shark still exists and is hiding very deep underwater where no one can find them." California couple was sentenced to 32 years to life in prison for the torture and murder of the man's 4-year-old daughter. According to the San Bernardino County District Attorney's Office, Ronald Greer and Bianca Stanch lived together in an apartment in Adelanto, California in 2012. Samia was Greer's daughter, and Stanch reportedly had an extreme dislike for Samia and treated her poorly. Prosecutors said Stanch beat Samia on a daily basis, yet Greer did not intervene in any way to stop the beatings. Some of the abuse, prosecutors said, included Stanch duct taping Samia's wrists and ankles and leaving her so she could not get water. One time, Samia made it to the kitchen where she drank cleaning solution because it was the only liquid she could find, the DA office said. Other instances involved Stanch beating her with a belt and cords and pouring a pot of boiling water on her back and chest. Prosecutors said Samia was denied water during the last days of her life. On the night she died in 2012, Samia was locked inside a bedroom in their apartment and was left with Stanch's cousin while Stanch and Greer went to dinner, the DA office said. Stanch, Greer, and Stanch's cousin Rayshawn drove Samia's body out to the desert, where she was buried. An autopsy revealed the girl's cause of death was dehydration. Ronald Greer and Bianca Stanch were found guilty on October 6, 2020, on charges of first-degree murder, child abuse, and special allegation of causing death. On Friday, March 12, 2021, Bianca Annie Marie Stanch and Ronald Dean Greer were sentenced to 32 years to life in prison for the murder of 4-year-old Samia Christine Cornell Downing. Rayshawn Stanch pleaded guilty earlier this year in his involvement in the crime, according to the DA's office. Experts are sure that within the solar system, there are bodies in which at least primitive forms of life exist. According to assumptions, some creatures can inhabit the moon of Jupiter called Europa. Finding out the truth will soon be possible with the help of the new JUICE mission. The body of Europa is covered with ice, whom the experts hope to see is a mystery. According to scientists, there are large volumes of water under the glaciers of Europa, which are characterized by tidal heating processes. Tidal heating, also known as tidal working or tidal flexing, occurs through the tidal friction processes. Orbital and rotational energy is dissipated as heat in either or both the surface ocean or interior of a planet or satellite. Joachim Sauer of the University of Kelowna is confident that Europa is a great candidate for life. The water is in contact with the silicate mantle, which ensures the leaching of minerals from the bowels into the ocean. The richer the chemical composition of the ocean, the more chances that life will arise there. The Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer, JUICE, is an interplanetary spacecraft in development by the European Space Agency, ESA, with Airbus Defense and Space as the main contractor. The mission will study three of Jupiter's Galilean moons, Ganymede, Callisto, and Europa, all of which are thought to have significant bodies of liquid water beneath their surfaces, making them potentially habitable environments. The JUICE mission will start next year and will reach Jupiter in October of 2029, after 5 gravity assists and 88 months of travel. The spacecraft will enter orbit around Ganymede for its close-up science mission, becoming the first spacecraft to orbit a moon other than the moon of Earth. Jupiter's moons resemble more of a planet in size, atmosphere, water, etc. That is why scientists have such an interest in them. Sheriff's deputies found a dead man's severed ears in the pockets of a Florida man arrested Saturday night for allegedly brutally murdering his grandfather. Lake County Sheriff's deputies responded to a report of a stabbing about 6:40 p.m. Saturday at a residence on Lake Mack Drive in DeLand, about an hour north of Orlando. Deputies found a 77-year-old man, identified as Ronald Wells Sr., lying dead with stab wounds on the front porch of the house. Colby Parker, 30, was also at the scene. Parker told deputies he lived at the house with his grandfather. Parker said the two men had been smoking marijuana together when a fight began. Parker said Wells attacked him with a knife, but he disarmed Wells and used it against him, according to the sheriff's office. Parker said that he had stabbed Wells in the heart. As he was interviewed at the scene, Parker asked the deputy, "Do you want to know where Ronald Wells Jr. is?" Parker then took two human ears out of each of his pants pockets, later discovered to be those of the decedent. "This is where he is," Parker told deputies, according to the arrest report. Parker then asked the deputy, "Can I have your gun?" He then allegedly attacked the deputies, trying to disarm them, but he was secured and arrested. An agency-issued Taser 7 was used but was not effective, according to the arrest report. Detectives who arrived to serve a search warrant on the property found a baseball bat on the porch with apparent bloodstains and found a large butcher knife on the kitchen table inside with blood dripping on the floor. Sheriff's deputies said Parker later confessed to hitting his grandfather in the head multiple times with a baseball bat and confessed to stabbing his grandfather numerous times with the butcher knife and cutting off the man's ears. Parker stated he wanted his grandfather to be with his deceased grandmother, the sheriff's office said. Colby Parker was charged with second-degree murder in a domestic violence incident, battery on a law enforcement officer, and resisting with violence. He was held to the Lake County Jail without bond. A Las Vegas resident named Tori McKenzie assures it is a completely authentic image, and she does not even have the skills to work in photo editors in order to be able to change the picture. In January 21, 21-year-old American Tori McKenzie was visiting the home of her eldest son Ryan, who has a 2-year-old daughter, Amber, and a 7-month-old son. Once, when Tori had already put her granddaughter to bed, she accidentally heard the girl say to someone, "Go away," as if there were someone else in the room except the girl and the baby. Tori worried about this and installed a baby camera in the children's room that detects movement and takes pictures at the moment of movement. A few days later, Tori decided to see what the camera had recorded and was horrified to see a whitish, translucent, horned figure near the children's beds. On the head of the figure, the two horns are clearly visible and the fingers resemble long claws. The figure is hunched over by the bed. "It was so shocking when I saw it, I had to look at the picture twice to convince it was true. The first thing I saw was the horns on the head, so I immediately thought it was a devil or a demon," says Tori. To show that this is not some kind of camera glitch and that this terrible demon is really not human, Tori showed other pictures taken by the camera in which the girl's father came to visit the child, and his figure looks completely natural. She also wrote that after what she saw, she cleaned the house, but she encountered other anomalies. She assures that she has heard music coming from nowhere, as well as something opening wardrobes and pulling curtains. When the camera captured the flying balls, we thought at first that they were some kind of guardian spirits watching over the children, but I have no idea what is in this picture. It looks terrible. According to Tori, she showed the picture to her children, and they were too scared of the creature. Tori says she is surprised that there is something so dark in this house since the house was built just 20 years ago. She also said that, as it turned out, this figure used to apparently regularly come to the girl's bed, and she talked to it, laughing and chatting as if with an imaginary friend. But then, for some reason, she told him to go away. If you'd like to see the photo and videos of this, I have a link in the show notes. Officials say a Florida woman who was reportedly shopping online while driving struck a county sheriff who was riding his bike Thursday and allegedly left the scene. She was later arrested for hit and run. Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood was struck by a vehicle while he was riding a bicycle in the area of Town West Boulevard and Daylily Street at about 4:30 p.m. last Thursday, according to the sheriff's office. Chitwood was hospitalized with minor injuries. "I have some road rash, a few stitches on the gash from the passenger side mirror, and a fractured fibula that the doctors hope will heal on its own," Sheriff Chitwood said in a Facebook post on Friday. "The young lady who hit me is in custody on a charge of leaving the scene of an accident with serious bodily injury. She says she was shopping on Amazon on her phone when she hit me. Please let this be a warning to put your phones down while you're driving before you kill someone," Chitwood said. Paige Bergman, 20 years old, was charged with leaving the scene of an accident with serious bodily injury. Deputies found Bergman in her car in her family's driveway, where she was recorded during her arrest claiming she'd hit a mailbox. Video of the scene was recorded from a waste disposal services truck. I'll place a link to the video in the show notes. To Alan Ramos, the Waste Pro truck driver who witnessed the crash, "He got it on video and pulled over to give me a hand. I'll never forget what you did for me. There were several others who pulled over to help too, and I appreciate each and every one of you," Chitwood said. WKMG reports Thursday's crash comes nearly 4 years after Chitwood was injured in a bicycle crash in Ponce Inlet, in which he suffered a broken hand and an ACL injury in that crash after he was struck by a Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck. A violent, short-tempered, faceless creature with a fierce throw and an even hotter slap has been tormenting an 11-year-old Tobane Primary School boy. The child was temporarily taken out of school and briefly located to Modenere, and his parents sought refuge from the supernatural being, which has made a habit of slapping and choking him. Throwing stones at passing cars, breaking windows, and even slapping the pastor reportedly sent to exorcise it, causing the man of God to flee, are just some of the things this faceless terror was accused of. News of Thokolosi in the village of Tobane, nestled deep in the eastern part of Botswana some 20 kilometers from Celebi Fikwe, broke on social media late in February. The allegations would later gain traction as more stories about Thokolosi throwing tantrums in the village emerged. In an interview with The Voice last Saturday, 2 weeks after the Thokolosi first struck, the tormented boy's grandmother and guardian, Matala Modise, insists the reports have been greatly exaggerated. However, the old woman reluctantly admits that strange happenings have hit her home recently, literally as four smashed windows indicate. Her absent grandson is further proof that something is amiss. A staunch member of the African Baptist Church, Modise angrily blames a certain Ma Patricia for spreading falsehoods about her and her family. "She's a daughter to a traditional doctor in the village, and I was alerted to this personal attack by concerned neighbors who shared a voice recording of her just spewing lies and making all sorts of claims," remonstrates the stooped elder. Visibly uneasy and growing increasingly agitated, the granny reveals her grandson woke up in the middle of the night weeping that he was being pinched and punched. "Like this past Saturday, he woke up screaming, saying something was hitting him. He was evidently in pain, but I could not see anything. I don't know why someone will go around claiming a Thakalosi attacked my son. How do they know that? I've never seen a Thakalosi in my life, and just like everyone else, I've no answers," she said, fixing this reporter with a soul-piercing stare. Standing in her well-swept yard with several chickens roaming about, blissfully unaware of the old man's anguish, Modise further told the voice the faceless intruder has a habit of throwing stones at her two-bedroom house. "The first time it happened, I was at a neighbor's house around midday when I heard a loud bang on the roof. I initially thought teenage boys hunting birds may have thrown the stone. However, the second stone landed, and together with my neighbor we went to investigate. When a third stone hurled through the front window, they realized something out of the ordinary was happening. This thing continued for some time, and as you can see, all my windows are broken, but that's as far as it goes. No passerby been hurt, nor stones thrown at passing cars. The village leadership even came here to assess the damage, and none of them was slapped by the alleged Thakalosi," she said. "As you mentioned, you've been here for the past 2 days. Has anything slapped you yet?" challenged Modise, adding her grandson was due to return the following day. In an interview with The Voice, Cozy Nabitseko of Tobain confirmed visiting the tormented family after the matter was reported at her office. "We saw the broken windows and the little boy, but that's as far as I can say. I don't know where the Thakalosi story comes from," maintained Cozy, who declined to have her picture taken. Meanwhile, a prominent religious leader in the village, Prophet Frank Mott of Heavenly Embassy International Church, confirmed stories of mysterious creatures are rife in the village. "I once had a similar case in church where a man complained that a hairy female creature joined him in bed every night. He said the creature was really scary and had been tormenting him for years. We prayed for him and he was delivered," said Prophet Mon. The youthful religious leader defined a Thakalosi as Satan or evil spirit that occupies a host body to torment the human race. "I've been in the village for 7 years, and the most common complaints of people who came to my church are people complaining about spiritual wives and husbands. People say they're being sexually used while they sleep," he said. "We can pray and deliver these people, but they have to keep reading the Word of God and be prayerful," concluded the pastor. And finally, everybody loves a mystery, but we like them solved too, and so far, an answer has been elusive for the big border boom. It rattled windows and shook doors across a large swath of San Diego and Tijuana late Wednesday afternoon, jangling the nerves of residents who'd experienced a similar noisemaker just last month and one a year earlier. What was that? The region joined a list of communities from coast to coast that are defined in part by unexplained goings-on. "Mysterious shaking rattles San Diego County again," the website Strange Sounds trumpeted in a headline this week. It isn't always aural. 30 years ago, thousands of San Diegans were drawn to what some believed was the apparition of a slain girl on a blank billboard in Chula Vista. But unexplained, loud, shaking noises are the most common, sometimes falling under the general term skyquakes. On the East Coast, enigmatic booms are known as Seneca guns, the name drawn from a lake in upstate New York, the setting for a short story, Lake Guns, written in 1850 by James Fenimore Cooper. It is a sound resembling the explosion of a heavy piece of artillery that can be accounted for by none of the known laws of nature, he wrote. The report is deep, hollow, distant, and imposing. The lake seems to be speaking to the surrounding hills, which send back the echoes of its voice in accurate reply. No satisfactory theory has ever been broached to explain these noises. After Wednesday's boom there, the first thought of many people, this being California, was earthquake. But the United States Geological Survey said, no, their seismic activity sensors recorded nothing. This being San Diego, longtime home to military jets, a lot of folks thought sonic boom, too. "That wasn't one of ours," said Commander Zachary Harrell, a Navy spokesman, who noted that planes breaking the sound barrier are required to do it far off the coast. The Marines? They didn't respond to a request for comment. Local defense contractors testing some kind of newfangled weapon. Mum was the word there, too, as it usually is with classified military projects. In 2012, when a similar boom rattled windows and doors along the local coastline, initial not-us denials from the military gave way to an admission. The pilots and two Navy F-A-18 aircraft had been showing off for guests aboard the carrier Carl Vinson during a family cruise. Those two aircraft went supersonic about 35 miles from the coast, a Navy spokesman said at the time. Usually you don't hear the side booms travel that far. It was kind of surprising to us. This time around, Humberto Mendoza Garcilaso, a researcher at the Center of Scientific Research and Higher Education in Ensenada, said supersonic airplanes may have been responsible for the rumble, but he also suggested it could have come from the day's stormy weather and drastic changes in temperature and atmospheric pressure. Brant Maxwell, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in San Diego, was skeptical about ties to the weather, though. He said there were not any thunderstorms in the area at the time of the boom, which was about 5 p.m., and even with a strong cold front, you won't get that kind of rumbling. So for now, it's a mystery. Explosive booms with no definitive origin have been reported all over the world. India calls them barrisal guns, Japan, Uminari. Belgians may have the most fun talking about the phenomenon, Mistpofers, although Filipinos come close, Retumbos. The noises have been attributed to various things, from the familiar earthquakes, sonic booms, to the out-of-this-world. Some scientists have pointed to bolides, large meteors traveling so fast they explode when they hit the Earth's atmosphere. Others suggest certain atmospheric conditions amplify the sounds of large ocean waves crashing far offshore. Last year, seismologists at the University of North Carolina published results of a study of the East Coast skywakes. They gather newspaper reports and other accounts of booms between 2013 and 2015 in North Carolina and compared them to data collected by a network of seismographs and atmospheric sensors that were in the area then. The results ruled out earthquakes. There was no sign of ground shaking, so the researchers believed Seneca guns are an atmospheric phenomenon. The network of sensors picked up unusual signals varying in length from 1 second to 10 seconds that correspond with the newspaper accounts of mysterious booms. But the researchers didn't have enough information to pinpoint their precise location or cause. They said they hope to do more studies in coming years and finally solve that particular mystery. And sometimes, even the most durable ones do get solved. New Yorkers were baffled for several years in the mid-2000s about sweet-smelling air that would occasionally waft over Manhattan. The city created a special team to track what became known as maple syrup events, deploying them with special canisters to capture the aromatic evidence. In 2009, they traced the smell to a factory across the Hudson River in North Bergen, New Jersey. The culprit? Seeds from fenugreek, used to make fragrances. To the factory's immediate neighbors, this was no mystery. They were familiar with the smell and its effects. "Ooh, it makes you hungry," one resident told the New York Times. 30 years ago, local residents were drawn by the thousands to a different kind of phenomenon, one for the eyes, not for the ears. In June 91, Laura Arroyo, a 9-year-old San Ysidro girl, was abducted from her doorstep and murdered. A month later, people started gathering beneath a billboard on Broadway in Chula Vista, gazing up to see a murky image of the slain child that emerged as the sun set. Not everyone saw the apparition. Some who did attributed it to the play of light and shadow across the white canvas, not to inexplicable forces. Others dismissed the whole thing as a nonsense or hoax. But upward of 30,000 people arrived every night for the brief period to look at what believers called the miracle on Broadway. Some said they even saw a second figure which they thought might be Laura's killer peering over her shoulder. The human eye has an amazing ability to organize vague images into familiar patterns, a psychologist told the Union Tribune at the time. Overwhelmed neighbors living near the billboard asked its owner to turn off the lights illuminating the canvas so the crowds would go away. The crowds came anyway. Eventually, a color photo of Laura went up on the billboard, along with a phone number for a hotline to report any tips about the killing, which was solved a couple of years later with the arrest and conviction of a man who lived near the Arroyo family. The nightly pilgrimage dwindled, leaving some to wonder in the same way others are wondering now about rattling windows and shaking doors. What was that? Thanks for listening. For more bonus bites, as well as other stories of the strange and paranormal, visit us online at WeirdDarkness.com. I'm Darren Marlar.